As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hey everybody, what's up? Welcome into the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. It is Tuesday, April 26th. Michael Beller, Jake Seeley, Brandon Funston here with you. We are 2 days before the NFL draft, at least before the first round of the NFL draft. And so we're going to play a little game based on the NFL draft that I will introduce after I introduce my co-hosts. Jake Seeley, let's start with you, man. Scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being, I don't know, like middle of August draft prep. What's draft week like for you?
And you're talking about workload or excitement?
Workload.
Oh, workload this week, it's probably 8.5, I'd say.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's not quite. I mean, basically, once Thursday, like, we're doing this show today. I got a show pushed till Friday, which would normally have been tomorrow. But once Thursday comes, it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So it is essentially, it's honestly, it might be the same as a 10, Funston. I don't know. You're the one that edits everything. It feels like until Monday night, I'm going to be pretty crazy.
Yeah. And if you ask me the same question, I can't say the same as you, because editing you is not as hard as having to be you and writing it, you know. So it's something less for me. But on a excitement level,
10.
I'm pretty excited, although as a Seahawks fan, there's just nothing that they can do that fixes the gaping problem that exists with the Seattle Seahawks at the moment.
Not this year.
No, see, we're in the same boat. Well, actually, we're all in this. All three of us are in the same boat. Root for 2023. Yeah. That's when we'll have some fun.
For sure. We can have
the
a little.
The only thing I'm asking of the NFL is when we get to round three, just please don't do like four wide receivers in a row. Like, give me like a breather or something.
A little break. A little bit of a break. We could have a side bet, actually, when we get a little closer to the season, right? Like, which one of our teams is going to be the one that goes 5-12 and wins the most out of the three?
Oh,
the most?
Yeah.
Well, it's going to.
You know what? I actually
look
think
at team
that,
futures right now. Yeah.
I think the Giants are going to ruin it and do that. I think they're going to do the opposite.
Like, that they're going to be the one that like manages to squeak out a 6-win season.
Yeah, and ruins everything and potentially getting their quarterback next
year. It's not going to be the Bears. I promise you that.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm looking up regular season wins. Let's see.
You've got the worst division, Funston, so that's why. That's why I'm going with the Giants.
Bears are it's 7-flat.
Under all day long.
Under.
Giants. Giants are 7-flat, and the Seahawks are 6-flat. So we're all in the ballpark.
The best bet of those three is the Bears. The Bears are like purposely making sure they don't win 7 games.
I still think the Giants. I still think the Giants too.
It's three bad teams. It's three bad teams that are going to be picking toward the top of next year's draft. And so maybe we'll have something fun to talk about at that point. But let's get into what we're doing on this show for this year's draft. So we've already talked about the draft from basically every conceivable angle. If you've missed those shows, I think they've been pretty good shows. You can just scroll back a couple of episodes in this very feed and find those shows where we really break down the prospects and what teams might do and where we want to see guys go. All that good stuff for a fantasy perspective. We've got that for you just a couple episodes ago in the feed. On today's episode, we're going to have a little bit of fun. We're going to do a draft about the draft. So what we're going to do, got four rounds here. We're only going to be drafting skill position players, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end. No one's going to draft a tight end. Probably no one's going to draft a running back. You know, just a little bit of a spoiler. But those are the only players who are eligible to be drafted in our little draft here. Their draft slot will correspond with a score. So if someone gets drafted eighth, that player will contribute 8 points to whoever drafts him on their team. Lowest combined score wins. So basically, we're just trying to pick the guys for our teams here that are going to get drafted the highest in the first round. If a player doesn't get drafted in the first round, he will be tagged with a score of 33, the first pick in the second round. So we all clear on that? Everyone good? Everyone comfortable with the rules here?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
All right, well, let's get into it then. We are going to, we've got a random list randomizer pulled up here. Can you guys see it? You can guys see this, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
There you go. So I'm going to spin it three times, all right? And that third time will be our order. So here we go. Here's spin number one. Great podcast content. Here comes spin number two. And second here is spin number three. There it is.
I was second all three times. I told you this Look randomizer is full of crap.
All right. Hey, and so
you got you pick your bones with random.org, not with me, Jake. So it comes Funston, Jake, then me, but we're going to
so
say
for everybody that knows that doesn't see it, it went Funston, Jake, Beller. He randomized it. It went Beller, Jake, Funston, and then it went back to Funston, Jake, Beller.
You're just the man in the middle, stuck in the middle with you, like Steeler's wheel. That's just what we're meant to be doing here, Jake. Funston, you're first. Which draft slot do you want?
I will take draft slot number three because I feel like there's 10 really strong, likely first-round picks,
okay.
And 11 and 12 get very iffy to me.
Okay, so Funston takes draft slot three. Jake, which one are you taking?
So I will take two and let you tie break my potential first pick.
Okay, I will take draft slot one because that's what is available to me. I'm going to take Malik Willis. I think that Master. He doesn't make it past. I don't think he makes it past eight. And I think that those receivers, Garrett Wilson, Drake London, Jameson Williams, Garrett Wilson actually has put some distance between himself and the other receivers in the betting markets. He is now minus 200 to be the first receiver taken. And then Jameson Williams is next in those rankings at plus 200 with Drake London just behind him at plus 225. But I feel very comfortable that Malik Willis is going to be a top 10 pick. I don't think he makes it past eight to Atlanta. And even that first receiver taken might not be inside that first eight. I think Malik Willis has the best bet to be the first first skill position player taken, not the first offensive player taken. That's going to be one of the offensive linemen. But I think Malik Willis, the first skill player taken, worst going eighth to Atlanta. Maybe Carolina takes him at six. Maybe some other team gets excited about him and trades up for him. Whatever the case may be, I think it's eight at worst for Malik Willis. So he will be the first pick in this draft. Give me Malik Willis. Yeah. You don't like that, Jake, huh?
Sorry, no, I thought you were going to be stupid like the Panthers.
What, did it take Kenny Pickett or something?
Yes, yeah. I'm taking Kenny Pickett. I wanted Willis, but I'm willing to go with the tie for two reasons. Is because as much as we already had that show, and you know how I feel about Malik Willis, and feel like somebody's trading up because I want to make sure they get him. If things go sideways and certain players fall and then teams decide to sit and wait, I think that Willis could slide to, like, somewhere in the teens and somebody trades up there instead. And if Carolina goes their route, they're going to be stupid and be like, well, what's better for us now? Let's not sit and wait. You know, that Kenny Pickett. So there's a lot of people out there that think he's more pro ready. And I made the joke on that show when we did it. It was like Josh Rosen was supposed to be the most pro ready quarterback, but I feel worst case scenario, he's still inside the top 12. Best case scenario, I get the first player off the board. Of skill,
and you're talking about, yeah, Pickett's draft over under is 12 10, and a half right now.
12 and a half.
12 and a half, yeah. And the under is a little bit of an underdog, but still, 12 and it's set at 12 and a half. He's probably going to be, you know, somewhere in the teens at worst, you would think, unless there's like a Aaron Rodgers style slide for him.
Yeah.
And just don't think that's really all that realistic.
It's interesting. I wasn't thinking that you guys would both go quarterback. I've heard so much vacillating back and forth about, you know, this quarterback class could really drop. And then, you know, it scares me, though, that you guys are both back on potential for these guys to go in the top 10, because I have a team that I'm rooting for that needs a quarterback that's sitting in the top 10. And I do not want them to use a pick on a quarterback.
I think Willis is just such a, like, what a, he makes so much sense for Atlanta. because they're not going to do anything this year. They've moved on from Matt Ryan. He's from Atlanta. They can have him sit not only because they're not going to win this year, but because they've got Mariota there on a 2-year deal. Like, it makes so much sense. And like, talk about like selling tickets. Eventually, like, they can totally start over. They can move on from Calvin Ridley.
And
they've got the Atlanta kid.
We have the new Michael Vick.
It's like, it makes so much sense for Atlanta to take Malik Willis.
I think the issue is that he has got oozing with potential, got so much talent, and you have the four most needy teams for a quarterback are in the top 10, you know, and even Detroit, if they wanted to trade down a little bit, might still be in a position, you know, to entertain that idea as well. So it's hard to imagine someone that talented where there's four teams with a chance to take a bite at the apple and one of them doesn't do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So. I guess. Right. Yep. Some of these teams could talk themselves into waiting in next year's draft class too, where there's going to be some quarterbacks who, you know, everyone would agree is better than anyone who's in this draft.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Okay, well, that makes it easy for me then. I think I'm going to go – I'm definitely going Garrett Wilson, as you mentioned. He's kind of separating himself as the odds-on favorite. Mm-hmm. But I'm also going to go Drake London because you hear a lot of Jets on Drake London as a very likely possibility. Atlanta has a gaping need for a wide receiver. I think both Drake London and Garrett Wilson have decent potential to be top 10 picks, and probably I wouldn't see either of them dropping maybe past Washington at 11.
Yeah. Jake, let me just we talked about this in our previous draft episode, but since you've been like totally neck deep in this stuff, let me just ask you about fits for these guys. Garrett Wilson, if you're drawing up the ideal spot for his skill set and what that team already has, where do you want to see him go? And same for Drake London.
So for Wilson, anywhere. I think he's the most complete wide receiver who fits basically any of these teams that need a wide receiver, whether it's Atlanta, whether, as Funston mentioned, you'd find somebody alongside Terry McLaurin. Mm-hmm. And then even if you talk about the Jets, I mean, he's going to fit anywhere. The London is that also fits well with the Falcons. They have nobody. Although, you look at him and Pitts, I'd say I'd lean more. We haven't even brought in the other person yet, Jameson Williams. I think Williams makes a little bit more sense for Falcons than London does. But I think London with Terry McLaurin would be amazing. And also whether or not Carson Wentz has anything left. The touchdown to interception ratio wasn't bad. I don't love him with the Jets as much, that being London, because the stylistic, the offense, the quarterback play, and then if Corey Davis still can bounce back. So, yeah, I'd say that's how I would look. But to kind of bring this into my pick, I'm actually glad Funston took those two and left me with the one that is getting the steam and I think could end up being the first wide receiver. I wouldn't make him the first wide receiver off the board, but we saw, if you go to the Athletic, there's an interview with all the players with Feldman and everything. He's saying Jameson Williams, the best talent in the class. The only question is the injury. The only question is, does he start in the pup and he's out for the first 6 weeks? Is somebody going to take him as the first? Blah, 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 blah. So I'll take Jameson Williams because it's not that I necessarily disagree with Funston. Like, I would go London. You guys know that. But I think that whether it's London, then Wilson, or Wilson, then London, I think Williams is going to be the one sandwiched in between, potentially even the first pick. So I think Funston, your draft strategy actually makes sense because you guaranteed two of the top three. But for playing the odds, like, I kind of I like that you left me Williams.
Yeah, I thought about Williams, and honestly, if it was me just picking with my own opinion, I would probably go Williams because I do think that he is a receiver that plays – everywhere like Garrett Wilson does, whereas Drake London, you might want a certain fit there. I think it's stupid when teams you know, take an ACL injury from a 20-year-old that happened in November, and they put a whole lot of weight on that. Was it November? When did he have his ACL? What, maybe it was December. I can't remember.
Well, maybe it's because he can't put a lot of weight on it.
What a funny joke.
But are we just like, aren't we at the point where we're not just like, it's not doomsday anymore when a guy gets an ACL injury and he's in his early 20s and you have like a 10 to 12 month span, you know, like he's going to be fine. And, you know, and it's like if you put stock in that because you're going to might miss a month of his career and you're going to take someone completely different that doesn't have as high a ceiling. I think you know
who had 1,300 yards and 89 touchdowns after missing the first four games as a rookie?
Odell Beckham Jr.
I would be correct.
He tore the ACL, though, Funston, in the championship game, so in January.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Sorry.
Yeah, but still, we're talking, he's 8 months removed from the injury come week one of the season.
Yeah.
So it'll
be 9 months is pretty much the demarcation these days for a young guy that's, you know, that's rehabbing stringently.
I undersold him. It was 12 touchdowns. I forgot.
That was such a ridiculous run for him.
In 12 games.
Yeah, that was just outrageous in the highlight reel place. But this is not an Odell Beckham appreciation podcast, at least not today.
No, definitely not, because he'll misunderstand and block me for a second time.
He'll unblock you just to re-block
just
you.
To block me again.
Maybe Elon Musk isn't going to let that happen on Twitter anymore, right?
We'll find out.
You plunk down $44 billion for something, you pretty much get to do whatever you want with it, I guess. There's an argument to be made that shouldn't be allowed, but that is a completely different podcast. So we're going to get back on this. And so on Jameson Williams, right? So we're talking 8 months removed from the ACL tear in week one of the season. And then if you're one of the wide receiver needy teams, if you are Atlanta, who maybe doesn't take Malik Willis and is going to take a receiver, if you are the Jets, if you are... God, who else could maybe take Philadelphia, right? Maybe Philly wants to get in on the wide receivers. Like
Saints, yeah.
The Saints at 16. Like, Jameson Williams is a huge part of your future. You're not super concerned about, I mean, you want him to play week one, but you're not concerned. You're concerned about week five and week eight and week one of 2023. So, like, he's going to go high. And I would also expect it. I think that, you know, the fact that the odds have changed so much makes me feel like Garrett Wilson probably is going to be the first receiver taken. But the Jameson Williams, you know, maybe it's worth a little bit of a shot at plus 200 because of just the immense ceiling that is attached.
Yeah.
To
the Malik Willis thing, Atlanta could wait till next year. Who cares?
Yeah, for sure.
Why does Atlanta care if he misses the first 6 weeks?
And I mean, if they expect to be bad, which they, you know, probably should, like they could be right back at the top of the draft, right back at the top of the draft next year when you've got, you know, quarterbacks who, frankly, just have much more promising futures.
Which team has a worse depth chart, the Bears or the Falcons? I'd argue the Falcons.
I think it might be the Falcons too. Like the Bears still have a pretty decent, like, stable of talent on the defensive side of the ball.
Like, if the Falcons and Bears played each other 10 times, Bears win 7?
Oh, my God. That's just a version of football hell that no one wants to have to deal with, I think. But, yeah, I would say the Bears would be favored in that theoretical 10-game series.
Yeah.
So there you go. Go Bears! Bear down, Chicago Bears! All right, I'm going to move on to make my second and third round picks here. I'm just going to keep the wide receiver train rolling. All right, Jameson Williams had to go to Alabama because he couldn't get ahead of Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave. So I'm going to take Chris Olave right here with my second pick. Unquestionably, he's going to be a first round pick. There's no doubt about that. He's probably not going to go ahead of any of these three receivers. I think the ship has sailed there. I think he is comfortably the fourth receiver. I don't think Treylon Burks goes ahead of him. I don't think Jahan Dotson, George Pickens, I don't think any of those guys really challenge him. So I think it's just a matter of who ultimately makes that jump to get Chris Olave. Packers make a ton of sense for him. I think that could be a good landing spot for him. But whoever it ends up being, I think we're talking about somewhere in the 16 to 22 range for Chris Olave. And I really like it. This is a guy who, yeah, I think becomes very interesting from a fantasy perspective. Based on where he goes, I think we can make an argument for if the landing spot is right, that he ends up being the number one fantasy receiver among rookies in 2022.
If he ends up in the Packers, he probably will be.
Yeah, right? It'd have to be, as you say, the right landing spot. This is the interesting pick right here, because you can argue the order of those of what we've picked to this point, but that was chalk that they're all off the board. I think
that
at this point.
Yep.
I don't know that there's a clear chalky pick for the sixth pick overall here.
For the seventh pick overall.
Seventh pick overall, sorry.
I agree with you completely. And, like, not only is there not a chalk pick, but, like, so let's just use Dane Brugler's mock, his most recent mock, as just a working off sort of scratch pad here. The only other skill position players he has going in the first round are Desmond Ridder, Treylon Burks, and Jahan Dotson. And we know more skill players are going to go in the first round beyond the six that we've said. Are we sure that, like, is any other player besides these six a lock to be a first round pick?
I don't think any of them. Well,
Dotson.
Maybe Dotson. Yeah, that's exactly what I was leaning
toward. Are you just giving him the pick there?
No,
he was already leading. He already said Dotson. I already knew he was right. Leaning there.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to take Dotson, but I'm just saying I think he's probably the betting market suggests that he is the safest pick to go.
We did a betting show too, Funston, and we already covered this.
He is the next safest guy to be a first round pick among skill position players. But I think we're talking for sure, no matter what, like a late first round pick for Jahan Dotson. 28, 29, yeah. 30, 31.
Chiefs.
This is the NFL, you guys. This is the NFL. This is the NFL, my friends. Someone is always ready to talk themselves into the next quarterback on the board. I'm going Desmond Ridder here. I think Desmond Ridder ends up being like a low 20s pick. That's where Dane Brugler has him going in his latest mock. Nate Tice, who is on our an episode of Best on the Board, our gambling podcast. Be sure to check that out also. He's got Desmond Ridder going over Kenny Pickett. Even like there is always a team ready to talk itself into a quarterback, especially a sort of high floor quarterback like Desmond Ridder. So I'm going to take Desmond Ridder here. Actually, I think that this is it's a swing. I know my last pick is likely to be a second round pick, so I can't settle for 28, 29 Jahan Dotson. I got to go for a guy who maybe is going to be the 21st or 23rd pick overall. And so I'm going to go Desmond Ridder here for my third pick. I feel comfortable that someone's talking themselves into him.
For the same reason, I just assumed he would be there at the end when I picked two in a row.
He would have been because I was going to pass on him.
Yeah, and then the Detroit Lions are sitting there at 32 this year. So if one of these quarterbacks just falls, they're just sitting there with their basket waiting.
It's a nice backstop.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. So this is the way that it goes. So if you have two quarterbacks go inside the top 12, 15, then you're going to get three because the Steelers, we're all sitting here thinking the Steelers are going to do, unless the Steelers are one of the teams that takes the quarterback by trading up, which if you paid attention to what the GM said when he goes, oh, by the way, yeah, we've already seen what it takes to move up to seven or down to 32. Seven's a weird number to specify when you like 32 is the end of the first round.
Right.
You specified seven. That's you didn't say six, you didn't say five, you didn't say two, you said seven. So just saying, that sounds like a potential quarterback leap. So what I'm saying is, in that case, Beller, you're right. The downside, and this is kind of like how we're playing this draft and why I went the other way with Jameson Williams is what we're talking here, is if that doesn't happen and the second quarterback is Pittsburgh at 20, I just don't see until you get to 32, unless somebody jumps back in to get ahead of the Lions to get that extra year and Kansas City trades out. Or Cincinnati trades are, you're probably waiting until 28, 29, 30, 31, somewhere right around there. So
sure. That's
why I was going to pass on Ridder, but this is kind of like a game here. Like that's where we're trying to outmaneuver each other because we're in a draft. So I am going to take Dotson just because I feel like if the Packers don't get Olave with their first pick and he's already off the board, I could see the Packers taking him at 28, which – again, not huge value, but maybe they do it the first one. Maybe there's a wide receiver run. But I think Dotson does make it in the first round no matter what. So now I'm curious because Funst is in a weird spot here. This is why also I was talking about one of my leagues I'm in, and I saw somebody trade for the 108. I was like, I think that's one of the worst dynasty picks to have this year. Like, 107 is where, like, Funston already said it, 107 is the drop-off. Like, I don't want 107, 108, 108. Like, that's, you might as well just give me a second rounder and give me a better player.
Yeah.
The second rounder.
I mean, I think now, I mean, I guess there's two receivers that probably are the, like, what would make, I'll take Treylon Burks with one of them.
Yep.
I didn't love his 40 time, but I think the whole Deebo Samuel experience last year is going to convince somebody that they might be able to do something similar with him as well. And again, I mean, look at, there's going to be these wide receivers going because it's easy to go down the final 10 picks of the first round and see a bunch of teams that need receivers. But mm-hmm. who are the guys to their liking? So I'm going to go with the guy to my liking, and that's going to be for my second pick. I will take George Pickens. Mm-hmm. It's between him and Christian Watson, but I like George Pickens a lot. Georgia players seem to get steamed up as we talk about, you know, as you talked about. It is. It's like
it's just a funny phrase.
When you're like a big time he hardly played last year, but when he did play, he made, you know, you look at, he caught like three passes for 90 some yards against Alabama. One of them was a 50 yarder against him in the championship game. Coming back from the ACL, he's just a talented guy. Like, I've seen comps to Kenny Galladay, but I've also, you know, seen comps to AJ Green and to DeAndre Hopkins. I think he can be more of just a sideline guy. He can be a potential chain mover. 6'3", doing, you know, he's got big size. I think someone will talk themselves into him in the late first round.
Here's my issue with it is, even if you left him there for me, I was off of him at this point. I'm on him as a player. You guys know that. You guys know, yeah. I said that him and Burks for me and Dotson are all like neck and neck and neck. I don't like what we've been seeing the last 2 weeks, and maybe that's gamesmanship by a team leaking this, but now it seems to be multiple reports of teams that are taking him off his board or taking him off their board just because of the attitude. And we've seen that before. It's funny that, you know, it seems the projectability is the least concern. Like, people, oh, we can make the player into something more. And then it's injuries is second. And then character, just like, people just knock people off. Like, who was the one, and I know, like, that's a whole nother level, but who was the one with the mask and smoking the weed with the mask? And
Laramie,
like, people,
Tunsil.
Thank you. Yeah. Like, just gone off draft boards. Like, just because, like, and it's always these character issues. And when people, like, there's multiple reports talking about he didn't test well as in the interviews, and people didn't like his attitude, and people didn't like his drive to continue. So, you know how I feel about Pickens the player. I'm just telling you what other people are reporting. So, I'm with you, Funston, and I would actually take Pickens over Dotson. But I'm just worried he slides now. I'm worried he slides like mid-second, late third round, or second round now. So I'm going with the other name you said, because people love to project physicalness, athleticism. Oh, we can teach him to play football. So let's teach him to play football. And that's Christian Watson. Like, that's really what that comes down to, because if you look at the negatives, slow out of his routes and breaks. You know, the fact is, like, we're talking about, does he know a full playbook yet, blah, 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 like all that type of stuff. Some people are drawing the comparisons to, well, this is why we shouldn't have downgraded DK Metcalf. And I'm not saying I would downgrade Christian Watson, but it's all that projectability of the athleticism and just like, and I want to say Daryl Green Beckham. I actually think, like, worst case scenario, I think he becomes Van Jefferson. Best case is, I think he has DK Metcalf like numbers where, you know, you get 120 in a touchdown and next week you might get like 3 for 60, but it's never going to be that bad. That's best case scenario.
Man.
Okay. And now this is a complete wild card, because I think you had to take Watson at that point. I mean, you look at the odds, you look at the likelihood. This one is completely wide open, I think. You could even project a fourth quarterback here, or even the Buffalo Bills taking a running back. It's like, they're all kind of in a similar ilk.
Yeah, I mean, this is like a total beauty is in the eye of the beholder situation, right? Like, because who knows what there's clearly no obvious play. We've been saying that for the last two rounds. There's no obvious guy who's going to be taken here. There's a very good chance that we've already named all the skill players who get taken in the first round. Very, very good chance of that. So, like, I do look at, man, I don't think a running back's going to get taken. I just can't.
Yeah, but we're like the end of the second round now anyway.
Yeah, I know, but this is just, you know, this is for the first round only, Jake. This is first round only right here. Yeah, that's
so they don't get taken in the first round. That's it.
You get 33 points.
33 points. I did this unbelievable job of explaining what we were doing here. I asked you guys if you got it. You both said
but
yes.
Let's say Desmond Ridder goes 32 to the Lions or something. So all of our misses are only one less than that.
Yeah.
Do you think you got to do like a 5-point penalty? Maybe make them 38 points instead of 33,
or just make it first two rounds, period.
First two rounds,
yeah.
So just where they go overall,
because also, overall. I mean, I'm also looking at the length of the podcast so far, and then some of the players left. We could do first two rounds.
First two rounds.
And if you all don't right. make the first two rounds, you get hit with pick 75. How about that?
Are you telling me I have to go deeper here? Are you adding a couple rounds to this
Just
draft?
One round. Just one round. And you actually, you get dinged, haha, because you're the third pick.
Oh, that is such garbage.
You should have picked two.
I think if we're doing that, we got to go down and back. It's only six picks.
All right. We can go down and back. We can make this to six.
Okay.
In the first two rounds, if you don't get drafted in the first two rounds, you get pick 75. That's all right. almost halfway through the third round.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, I like it. I like it. That's what we'll do. And then that makes my pick. That makes my picks a little easier. So I'm okay with
that.
There
you go. Now you're gonna take Breece
Hall. I will take a running back here. I'll take Breece Hall because I think he will go. Like, wouldn't we like? All right. So Breece Hall, where do we want him to go among realistic?
Want?
Yes, want.
That goes back to the discussion we had on the show. Is like, do we want volume and to land with the Houston Texans, or do we want a better team? And potentially fewer touches. That's really what it comes down to. I think bell cow opportunity is Houston.
Yeah.
And I can see him going second round.
There's no place other than like Houston and Atlanta that I think you just. Mm-hmm. Well, I think Buffalo. I mean, Buffalo. If Buffalo drafted him in the first round, then they're gonna lean on him over Devin Singletary. So I guess that's not a bad place.
Yeah,
I think Buffalo's the spot. I think Buffalo's the right mix of environment and opportunity.
No, I'd hard pass.
Kansas City wouldn't do it unless they traded one of their picks to drop into the early second.
God, but can you imagine them doing that again after
doing
the
a redo? I mean,
I don't know that they'd do it, but I keep saying so. It wouldn't be Breece Hall, but maybe Spiller or Walker if they fall far enough. Just because I say they won't do it because I don't know if Arizona would do it in the second round. But whoever's time sharing with James Conner, although Walker doesn't make as much sense as Hall and Spiller do, but mm-hmm. I'd love that landing spot just for the potential of that. Yeah, I'm not with you guys. I don't want him to go there. I'm
you don't want him to go to Buffalo?
No, I don't want anybody to go to Buffalo. No, because it's the Cam Newton days. It's like you're monopolizing the backfield with so much of Josh Allen to begin with, and then it's one you're already in, even if it's a bell cow, you're already in a timeshare. Like it doesn't even matter. So, and Singletary is not going to completely go away after what they saw from him last year. And there was reports that Dable was forced to use him more, that he was the one that was holding off on Singletary. So he's gone, and a rookie running back versus Singletary. I just don't know you're going to get much touches until 2023.
All right. Well, I'm still going to take him with my fourth round pick.
I think still a good pick.
And then in the fifth round, I'm going to go Sky Moore. I was toying around with a different receiver, and we'll see if he gets picked at all, to be perfectly honest with you. When I was thinking I was just going to have one sort of shoot for the moon pick, I think Sky Moore's pretty safely somewhere in the 40s. Don't see him really being anything other than a first third of the second round sort of pick here. Maybe the Colts end up taking him. With 42, that seems like a popular spot where we see him mocked to a lot. So Sky Moore will be my fifth round pick.
Makes sense. That would have been my next pick as well, like next off board. I like Sky Moore a lot. So then I will take a quarterback, and I'll take Mac Jones. Oh, sorry. Matt Carroll. That's because, you see people talking about the R. It's all this. You could basically copy-paste Mac Jones' draft profile from last year and put it into Matt Carroll, and that's you're getting the same responses from teams and thoughts and stuff like that. But I got to tell you, in an outside chance, I don't think he goes in front of Ridder. But an outside chance, somebody just says, well, let's just take the Mac Jones and let's not, we don't – it's going to come down what the teams like. You know, there may be a situation out there where there's like Ritter's too much projectability. We don't want to risk it. We don't want to bomb next year. We can live around to Mac Jones. And again, not saying it's going to happen, but if Carroll was in front of Ritter in the draft because both of them are in the second round and he went first, it wouldn't shock me.
Yeah.
I was actually hoping that you weren't going to go quarterback at all, because I was gonna take two. Because I don't think
you're gonna take Howell. Yeah. And
yeah. And by all accounts, Sam Howell had a great pro day and really did a lot to help his stock. His draft position over under is 45.5.
A year ago at this time, we were looking at Sam Howell as maybe like being in the top five discussion for this year.
Yep. Exactly.
Wait, what's the over under?
45.5.
Ooh, I think I take the over.
Yeah, either way, I just want to top 50. I'd be happy at this point. I've heard some stuff on Corral where he's dropping, and it wouldn't be shocking if some team decided they like Sam Howell as a pick over Corral. But I think there's enough of a chance of that happening. I'm going to take him right here, and I will take Kenneth Walker. I don't think he escaped after running a 4.38. I don't think he escapes the second round. And, you listen to some people say that, I think that there's better upside to his passing game work than he's given credit for. I don't think, Jake, you're one of those people, but I just think the 4.38 and the production at a major college is going to get him into the second round.
No, I actually I'm legitimately concerned about his passing. I'm not saying he can't, but this isn't like back with Damian Harris, where it's just Alabama just refused to use him and he actually has okay hands. This is, we've actually seen Kenneth Walker screw up plays as a pass catcher. So not saying he can't get better, but legitimately have concerns that he might just be a 1-2. And that was for fantasy purposes of that write up. So I don't mind the Kenneth Walker pick. I was leaning maybe him. But, and there's some wide receivers here that I'm thinking, like, I could see Shakir. I even joked and said, the next Deebo Samuel, because he ran plays. And, like, you actually see him have some elusiveness like a running back after the catch, too. And everybody's looking copycat league. Alex Pierce seems to be. So I'm going to, off the board here, there is only one clear tight end that's unanimous across the league, and it's Trey McBride. So I'm going to go and think that, hey, hopefully somebody in the middle of the second round says, you know what? We don't want to play the guessing game with Otten and all the rest of them. Like, what's his health status? Even though I like him, or any of the others. So I'm gonna take McBride and hope he goes inside the top 50, 55.
I think that makes sense.
Tight end in the mix. Well done. Yeah.
I think that's a wise, like, pot odd sort of play. If a tight end's gonna get drafted, it's gonna
zero
be
RB guys love me right now. Two quarterbacks, yeah. Two wide receivers, and a tight end. Screw the running back.
So this is the guy who I was kicking around with, maybe taking, just because I feel like someone might fall in love with the size. I'm gonna take Alec Pierce. I'm gonna wrap things up with Alec. Like, he's 6'3". Like, someone, I feel like there's someone's gonna love the size and figure, like, he can be an instant impact red zone guy. We can play him outside, like. I think because of that size, he's going to get drafted
and
somewhere in the first.
And he's got some speed, too. Yeah. I mean, actually excited to see where he lands, because I can see myself getting behind Alec Pearson, the fantasy world.
I've got Alec Pearson, Desmond Ridder on this team.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. Give me Sauce Gardner. Get all the Cincinnati guys.
And the running back. What's the running back's name?
Yeah, there you go. Right? Team them all up. Get them all back together. Yeah. Get them blown out by Georgia again. Alabama. They play. I can't remember. I thought, no, they played Alabama. Georgia played Michigan. Yeah. Get them blown up by Alabama again. There you go. All right. There's our teams, guys. This will be fun. This will be something fun to track over the weekend. I feel like I'm going to win.
Yeah, I kind of feel that way, too. I just feel strong.
And it all comes down to Malik Willis.
It does. It does. That's going to be a big one. And we'll use this instead of random.org, because obviously we're going to have some drafts to do over this summer as we're getting ready for real fantasy football drafts. This will be the blueprint for our next draft. So whoever wins this draft will get to pick their draft spot first, and whatever our next draft is, whoever comes second, and whoever comes last will just be stuck with what's left over. Sound good?
I think if we ever do a live show again, we need to do the 100-yard fight so we can watch our guys run down the field and see if
that's fun.
Somebody blows a hammy on the 40 and...
I didn't know that existed until you used it for the flex drafts last year. Yeah,
it's fun to watch. And he's like, he's pulled out in the lead, and then he gets to the 40-yard line, like he pulls the Greg Jennings from the Madden game, and he's like limping the rest of the way.
We will definitely do that once we are back live on YouTube, which is coming for sure. But we're waiting until we get a little closer to the season, everyone out there. So we'll use this for the next non-live on YouTube draft, and we'll definitely go 100-yard fight for the next live on YouTube draft. How does that sound?
Wonderful.
All right, guys. That's going to do it. That's going to be a show here. We're going to wrap things up on this episode of the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. So we've actually got two episodes coming to you this week. On Friday, Funston and I will be back with you looking back at what happened in round one, what we think about the fits and where players went, and projecting ahead to what we still want to see from a fantasy perspective go down over the remaining six rounds. That's going to do it, however, for this episode. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be talking to you soon. See you later.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.